Hey there, this is Seth Wars from Channel 9 coming to you from Building 43 today talking about Azure. Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do, my friend?
Hi, thank you for coming over, Seth, and visiting us. My name is Ashwin. I'm a program manager on the Azure platform monitoring team. We have a small team out here, and we are in charge of giving customers the telemetry, the logs, metrics, monitoring around all their Azure resources.
So that's interesting, right? Because if you go all in Azure, you have all sorts of things. I mean, you have the VMs. If you're going down the infrastructure level, you have your applications. If you go that way, you have your data. You have, for example, if you're running hyperscale type applications, you might have a queue. You might be on Azure Service Fabric.
Exactly.
And as an organization, how do you make sense of the investment that you're making? How do you know how well it's doing? How do you sort of help us out?
Exactly. So let me step back and tell you what the goals of our team are, right?
Okay.
And you might, and our customers might be aware of, as well as you are aware of, the other similar products or services that we have. We actually work together with them, like Application Insights and all those. Because you touched upon saying that, hey, there is infrastructure level services in Azure, like VMs and Redis Cache, some of those, versus there are apps like your cloud services, you know, web and websites, the code that you write. So we want to make sure there is a comprehensive and a coherent story around all this, right? But the base of it is the platform level monitoring, right? What is the infrastructure level monitoring that Azure gives you out of the box, right? So the goals of our team are like, hey, for the platform level things on Azure, such as your IaaS, PaaS, or everything, we want to give you access to the metrics, logs, and we want to give you the ability to take automated actions on those, such as you know, when an alert fires on something that you wanted to wait to know about, then take an action, all those things. The second thing we want to make sure is that, hey, this just works not only at the infrastructure level, but also for your apps on Azure.
Sure.
And that's where we work very well closely with Application Insights.
I see.
I mean, they're more like a sister team to us. We work closely with them to make sure that our data is can be sent into the Application Insights premises so that they can do analytics on top of it, and they can do much richer, granular debugging and diagnostics on top of it. Then we also work with OMS or Operational Insights, also now known as Log Analytics, which actually helps take all this platform level, you know, diagnostics, logs, and metrics and data, and provides customers a global level view. I mean,
in practice,
customers have like many subscriptions, right?
Sure. But,
and there are resources, resource groups, and everything. Our data is more at that granular level, right? So we emit the data from all these components together, but OMS or Log Analytics looks at it from a holistic view, groups them together, and gives you this global access or view around monitoring. So that's your top-down view of Azure monitoring, right?
So if you're looking at this stuff, the stuff that we're going to talk about today, it's not necessarily low level because it will work with your apps, but it's not like Application Insights where it's app specific.
No.
This is more low level event type
stuff. We're gonna talk about like what is the fundamental, what are the fundamentals of Azure monitoring, or where do this data originate? What are some of these primitive services that you get out of the box from Azure? And we'll also touch upon like where the roadmap is, right? You know, how are we gonna work with all these first party services like Application Insights and OMS, and also how do we plan to actually, you know, share and play well in the ecosystem, like giving access to all of our third-party, you know, services as well out there, so that customers can take the data out and then they can process and analyze it the way they want using any service. They can build their own or, you know, do stuff on top of it. So that's our goal. So we are the team at the bottom of the stack. And we want to enable and empower not just our Azure services, our customers, but as well as the whole the monitoring ecosystem around it.
That's awesome. So I think we need to draw a diagram of some sort to know where it is that you guys live, so that we can get a sense for what's the kind of information we get. Because obviously, the higher level up the stack you are, you're going to get application-specific exceptions, but you're not going to get that where we're.
Exactly.
So let's draw something up here that will help us understand.
A simple way to look at it, I'm just going to draw a triangle just to understand. Like, you know, at the bottom of it, there is the scalable common monitoring pipeline, right? So let's just call it the monitoring pipeline, right? Under monitoring and diagnostics. So all your Azure services, by the virtue of them being an Azure resource, pick anything like Key Vault, right? Key Vault is one. the IaaS, the VMs, mm-hmm. You can think about machine learning, mm-hmm. right? Any of those services, HD Insights. So everything has to pump data sooner or later. Many of them are already doing it. Some of them are in the process of onboarding into this new pipeline. They actually pump the data into the common monitoring pipeline. And the other end of it is where we say, hey, we can expose you that data anyway, some of it via the portal, Azure portal, and the rest of it we can expose it as raw data, as API, so that you can consume it, right?
Sure.
But then on top of it is where our premium services, such as the Application Insights, right, which can consume the data and process it and help you visualize it, analyze it better from for the applications, the Azure
sure.
applications. And then there is OMS or the newly called Log Analytics, which can then take this data, group them together, collate them, you know, correlate them, and give you a better global view of, okay, what this is happening around my subscription. This is the number of alerts alerts that are coming from around all the resources within my subscription. This is my global view of data coming from across these 100 subscriptions and all those things. So we're going to talk about what are the features you're going to get at this layer today.
I see.
Out of the box from Azure. And your primary interface there is, we will go and take a look at how we can access and play with them or use them from the portal. And we'll also cover around, okay, how can you access it via API, then / PowerShell,
right.
as well as CLI, right?
Okay.
I mean, so that also becomes a story that, look, this is the foundational or infrastructure data coming out of all your Azure resources, and customers or our third-party partners can use the same API as used by the rest of our own services to actually give value on top of the Azure services.
Got it. Right? So this is at the base of everything.
Yep.
And so every Azure resource, yep. anything that you can put in Azure, will or does or will eventually hook
exactly.
into this pipeline.
Exactly.
And so hopefully that what you're telling me is that there's a common set of things that you can do in this pipeline
yes.
that every resource will give you.
Exactly.
So now the question for you is, well, what are those things?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely go into some of those in details. For example, the simple things is like, you know, this goes back to the promise we made, like, look, you have invested in Azure, you have bought some of the VMs, you've bought Redis Cache, and mm-hmm. so we owe you some of the telemetry, mm-hmm. right? So we'll give you some of the telemetry out of the box,
right?
The rest of it is like, hey, you can opt in, and you can say, hey, write more logs. I want more logs. I want more detailed mm-hmm. diagnostics around it. Please write them to my storage account. Or please write them to my event hub, and I want more access to it. I want to retain it forever and all that. So we give you access to that. So those are some of the two primitives that we gave at this level, and we'll give you API to access it, right? And the third one I want to talk about is alerts, right? So you can say, hey, this metric is very important to me. I need to be alerted on when so-and-so happens. So there is a standard way to configure alerts, and it should pretty much work for any new or existing service that onboards to the common pipeline, right?
So what you're saying then is that there's certain things that are just going to happen.
Yes.
There's other things that you can opt in to get even more
exactly.
advanced information, and then there's finally things where you need to tell me when this happens.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So as we walk into the details, we'll cover a few things. First one is metrics,
okay.
right? And we'll look at it from the portal view, because that's the place where these things are available as a first class. I mean,
sure.
all the services from this layer are available as a first class entity.
Right.
So metrics, we'll talk about dashboards, and then, sorry, my handwriting is bad.
That's okay.
And then we'll talk about alerts, right?
Okay.
And then we talk about another thing, which is auto scaling, which is actually a part of the common monitoring pipeline and service. Why? Because there are a few services in Azure. Let me just name them now. This is like the classic cloud services,
uh-huh.
the web apps or websites. Mm-hmm. And there is a VMSS or VM scale sets. All of them support auto scaling. So auto scaling
right.
is more like a common service that the platform should provide, right?
Right.
And so we'll talk about auto scale in a little more detail. But so auto scale is also a part of the common platform monitoring
mm-hmm.
story. Then we'll talk about logs. And this is where you mentioned earlier, like, hey, there are some of the things that we give you out of the box because we think that this is really needed. This is critical for you to know.
Sure.
You don't have to opt in. You need to know what happened. For example, when your database got dropped or deleted or there was a policy change in your subscription or new user got added as an admin, you need to know about it. It's not like about opting in. So some of these logs, we call them the operational logs or audit logs. Customers might be familiar with this term, audit logs. And those are the critical logs that we give out of
sure.
the box. And then there are the opt-in logs, which mm-hmm. we will talk about. Like, okay, give me more logs. I want to have access to it so that I can analyze it better.
Got it.
And so we can call them diagnostics logs, and we'll talk about that as well.
And these are like the extra if you need more information.
Exactly, exactly. And then some of these will be a little different. For example, for your VMs, you can turn on your diagnostics agent and start getting more logs pumped into your storage account. That existed for a long time. But we are taking the same functionality to the rest of the infrastructure services on Azure. For example, network security groups, your load balancer. You want to have, you. What about your network traffic? And all those things we want to introduce and say, hey, you can turn on a knob and just get more data, and we'll give you that.
Got it.
Right. So those are some of the raw platform level services that you get out of the box. And the next tier is all about, okay, fine, now I have an app running inside it. So how can I get much more application performance management on top of it, which is mainly covered by application side, which we won't talk about it today. Similarly, all these things are exposed as APIs, first-class APIs, so that if Application Insights wants to do it on behalf of the customer, they can do it. Same if OMS wants to do it, they can do it. If anybody is, I mean, the customer themselves want to build custom solutions to manage it on behalf, they can do the same thing too.
You mentioned one that I didn't see here, but maybe it was just a mission. You mentioned something about alerts. Is that something that happens here at the bottom?
I had included here, but then they can talk about it. Yeah. So alerts to us. Alert is any, if you have a, you can have two types of alerts, right? You can have alert on metrics. So, hey, my CPU went above 80%. That's what I need to get alerted on. My CPU is beyond my CPU memory is gone beyond like 90% or something. I need to get alerted. So you can set those alerts. Customers can create those alerts. And that is available as a first-class service at the platform level. And it works the same way. So you can set, so Redis Cache will spit out a few metrics of their own. They have 10 different metrics. The VMs will have their own metrics.
Got it.
Like CPU, network in, network out, all those things. Network security group has their own set of metrics. I mean, the platform, the monitoring pipeline and infrastructure doesn't care. We look at it as like, hey, there is a metric, and we can let you alert on it.
Got it.
So you can define conditions that, oh, if this metric is above or below this threshold for so-and-so period of time, then alert me. Now, what does that alert do is we do two things, right? When our alert engine comes through, we can notify customers in two ways. One is we just make the state as activated, right? When the threshold is crossed, we just call it activated, and that lights up in the portal as such. And when the state is gone below, for example, let me explain. If you say, oh, when my CPU stays above 80% for more than five minutes, alert me. So that means it will be activated.
Active state, yeah.
Yeah. And then if it goes below 80% for more than 5 minutes, then we'll go back to resolved.
Right.
Right. So that is just the state. So what does the notification do? The notification it does is you can configure and receive emails.
Mm-hmm.
You can also fire a webhook.
Oh, cool. So you can call back some service.
Exactly.
That might have some IoT job running, and then the red thing can light up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. You're right. So what we enabled here is, so the webhook is generic, right? When the alert triggers, it passes in the webhook a JSON payload of all the metadata around what that resource is, what was that trigger, what was the metric that triggered it, all the information you need. So all the processing systems can take the necessary actions on top of it. Going back to our promise that, hey, we want to allow you to take automated action on top of the basic metrics coming out of your Azure resources, right? And this webhook has actually helped us integrate with a lot of our own first-party services, if you know about automation runbooks in Azure. The new Azure Functions.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. So with Logic Apps and all these things. And not just that, we've been working closely with our external partners like PagerDuty, who are like incident management systems.
Right.
Like, they really care about like getting, their customers care about getting the data about like, hey, so-and-so thing happened, and I need to take such an action. I need to get alerted, and I can assign it to somebody in my company to take an action on it and all this. So incident management is done using the PagerDuty integration.
And that's interesting, right? Because if all of the things at the bottom layer have access to this, that means that you could really hook Azure Functions into almost anything on Azure.
Absolutely.
Because it has the webhook functionality for alerts.
Exactly. You're right. So pretty much you can say when in a website scenario, hey, when so and so happened, when the HTTP error count or like the requests are beyond this, or my queue length, HTTP queue length is so much.
Mm-hmm.
Alert me. So I configure an alert, and the alert actually calls a webhook, which actually executes your Azure function that goes and takes care of, okay, your message queue is too long or something.
Let's start clearing stuff out or fire up another box or
Absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely, everything. So,
this is awesome. Yeah. And so anything else that we're missing in the diagram before we actually get into looking at what these things are?
This is the high level, so we can dive into each of some of these things in detail and
All right.
do a demo.
So what we're going to do is we're going to sit down here and we're going to go to your computer and we're going to start looking at how these things work. So let's pull up your chair here and then we'll sit down and see what you got here.
All right. All right. So now I'm here on the Azure portal.
Okay.
Right. I want to talk about the first one, which is what's my basic monitoring scenario like. I mean, when I come to the Azure portal, I can go to any resource. Let's pick a web app in this case, right? And I mentioned metrics, dashboards, all sort of things. So
just to clarify. Because these things are available to any resource, you could probably go to any resource and have these same things, but we're going to use this example.
Yeah,
to start.
I mean, at this point, like I mentioned, a lot of the Azure resources or Azure services have already onboarded into the common pipeline and this common monitoring service, but many others are still onboarding.
And so the goal is to have them all eventually.
Absolutely. Our roadmap is very clear that over time, as all these services, new services come up, they just light up. And so every single service doesn't have to go and do the heavy lifting of building a monitoring infrastructure
from
scratch.
It's just already in the pipeline.
Yeah, it's just they adhere to some of the common principles and some of the common contracts that
we
have, and it just lights up for everybody.
All right. Let's see what we got here.
Yeah. So here is a web app, right? So if you come to web app, this is the resource summary blade of the web app. And out of the box, you can see some of the charts such as monitoring. Now here there is one for requests and errors, right? I mentioned, this is a metric. So as far as the web app goes, this is just another metric. If you go if you go and look at Redis Cache, they will have, another 30 or 20 metrics, and you can pick any of those and have charts on those. When I say dashboards, now if you want to look at, I care about this web app so much, or I care about this web app and Redis Cache so much, I want to look at the charts of these together.
Mm-hmm.
You can go here, click on this, and say pin to my dashboard. When I pin to my dashboard, it's basically taking you all the way. Now it says pin to my dashboard. It goes to my homepage. Click here. Go back to my homepage. See, this is one I had pinned earlier, right? And here is the latest one I just pinned. So you can imagine, I can go ahead and create a dashboard of all the things that I want to monitor, like all these metrics that I want to monitor, and I could have it on my large screen TV or something, and I call it, I can name it as a different dashboard. So you can see, you can go and create and name a dashboard. I can say, hey, this is my production server monitoring with metrics and charts from these specific set of servers.
I see. So each service or resource on Azure is going to have its own metrics that they then get fed into the pipeline that then Azure understands it holistically.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So you can create this dashboard and view it, share it. Now they have some new feature. The dashboard team actually built a feature to share this dashboard. You can say, hey, these are the five different metrics across the four or five VMs or instances that you care about.
Got it.
And here's what I want you guys as a part of my team need to monitor. And
so
they could just look at just that view, right? So that's the basic metrics and dashboarding features that you get out of the box, right? For anybody who participates or all the services that participate in the monitoring service infra. So that's the first one. I wanted to actually look at, let's look at alert, right? You mentioned about alert. So as you see, every metric is alertable. So by the virtue of you being a metric in the common metric, monitoring world, you can get an alert on it, right? So I just clicked on that chart. I went inside. Now this is my metric, request and errors. I can click on add alert, right? And this is the screen to actually set the variables for my alert. Now in this case, I pick the resource is particularly this website, right? I can give a name for this alert. Let's call it C9 demo alert. Give a description, optional, and so here is where I pick what metric can I create an alert on, right?
And that's cool, because each thing is going to have its own different
metric. So if I select another one, CPU time, this graph is going to dynamically change based on it, because that's the data coming from,
that's
this metric and not the other one. And so you select that, and then you give a condition. Now this is your greater than equal to what you want to have. So I can say when CPU time is greater than, so there is a unit here, it's seconds. So if it's greater than 1 second, for how long? So that's something you want to define and say, if it's for last 5 minutes, then do this, right? And then do something. What do you want to do, right? This is We give you an option to say, hey, when this happens, email the owner, so basically the admins of that particular website and contributors and readers. We can say yes to that, so you don't have to go and copy-paste their names all the time. Then you can have a string of emails. So this could be the devs on your team or anybody you care about. So you can comment, you can semicolon separate them and have them, right? And this is the last one we spoke about earlier a little bit. This is the webhook, right? Yeah. So all you're going to do here is get, you're going to copy-paste the webhook to the service that you want to trigger this, right? And that's it, right? So now we created a alert, which it can, it'll just automatically alert you in the portal itself. So when the alert gets activated, you'll get a, if you are logged in the portal, you're going to see a blinker like, hey, this alert got activated. But most oftentimes you're not in the portal, right? So you'll get an email. And the next thing is, if you have a webhook, now you get notified. So you can configure a webhook by linking it to Twilio and get an SMS on top of it if you want. So that's the story around alerts. Just with VMs, I'm sorry. Just with, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
With VMs, we actually went ahead and took an extra step in terms of integrating alerts with Azure automation. So let me give you an example here. So I'm going to create an alert on a VM. Same UI as you saw earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see here, there is a first class integration to actually execute a runbook when such a condition triggers. So this means, instead of you manually copy pasting a webhook to execute an automation runbook, you can do it in a first-class way and say, hey, choose some of these common runbooks. I can restart a VM or remove a VM or stop the VM. The classic example of this is like, hey, I have some workload running on this machine, and once the work is done, I don't want to pay for that machine and just stop it or remove that VM, right?
So a runbook is a set of actions to take. Is it like a PowerShell script?
Exactly, it is. Sorry, I should have clarified. So runbook, Azure Automation Runbook is basically those are PowerShell scripts that you can execute, and that can be triggered using a webhook.
Got it.
Right. So the VM customers, many of VM customers gave this feedback and said, hey, when we introduced webhook earlier, say, that's cool, but can you make it easier
do
for
something,
us?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that you can integrate it via the portal. I don't want to go and go back and forth trying to create one and copy paste it. And these are some of the common things I do, such as restart a VM, remove a VM, stop a VM. So help me get there. And now the feedback for us is that, hey, not just these three or four runbook, I want to do any runbook.
Anything,
pick any runbook from my gallery. And the automation team is working hard on that. I mean, so yes, that's great feedback. We want to improve that.
That's awesome.
So this is the way to integrate some of the Azure first party services with these infra services like alerts.
Right? Okay,
and
so
over time, you will see the same thing coming for like Azure Functions and other stuff, such as we mentioned logic apps and all those things.
So we mentioned metrics, dashboards, and alerts, which are super cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about auto-scaling, because for me it feels like kind of an odd thing out, but it really isn't when you think about it a little bit more. Why don't you explain why auto-scaling is part of this?
Exactly. So let me explain how auto-scaling plays into the monitoring space. Now, auto-scale, as it's designed, is that, look, we can scale out, as in we can increase the capacity of a particular resource in Azure, or scale down, as in reduce the capacity of a particular resource to handle your load, based on a particular condition. I mean, you as a customer can define that condition.
Right.
The conditions that we can allow you to do this action on is, hey, again, just like metric, when my CPU, average CPU across these instances for such a resource goes beyond, say, to 80%, then I think I'm not going to handle the workload coming in. So
scale
out, right? So in a way, it's actually this very similar to the alert engine, but it's monitoring the same metrics that you've asked him in the average CPU or like the max or min of the CPUs, and saying, okay, I got to make a decision. I'm going to tell this VM scale set or this cloud service that, hey, you got to increase your instance count.
I see.
Right, so it's essentially still monitoring as a part of it, and it is driven. It's driven by the metrics, essentially.
I see.
Just like an alert is driven by the metrics, right? It is looking at the metrics and doing the decision. Now there is a subtle difference, though. So there is more to auto scaling than just by metric. Is you can also say, here is my schedule, here is my like what do you call it, your work hour traffic right. kind of thing. So Monday to Friday, here is how I want you to increase the capacity and reduce the capacity. But over weekends, here is my capacity. So customers can go and define that as well and say, based on time or time of the day or day of
or
the week.
Or holidays.
Holidays, exactly. Yeah. Just go and manage this for me. So scale based on metric is the most common conditions most people use. This is available as an out-of-the-box feature as well. And this auto scaling is available to the Azure services such as cloud services, the worker role and web roles.
Right.
It's available to
web apps, right?
Web apps, exactly. So the web apps, and then the third one is a VM scale set, which is a new one.
And VM scale set, for those that don't know, is what? It's just if a VM has certain CPU.
Exactly. So VMs, it's not loose VM. It's actually VM the IaaS designed from ground up, supported to just increase its capacity or instance count up or down based on what customer asks for. So you'll get exactly the same image of the VM, but just with more instances.
I see. So the auto scaling is similar to the alerts,
yeah.
But the alerts only work with metrics. Auto scaling will work with a predefined sort of set of rules as well.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So we talked about the metrics, the dashboard, the alerts. We talked about auto scaling. And if for those that haven't seen, if you go to a web app, it's literally just...
Yes. I'm going to... pick a cloud service.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So here is my classic cloud service, right? I'm going to pull out one. It's a classic cloud service. And you can see it has these roles and instances, right? So we have a few roles here. Web roles, worker roles are running, right? So I believe this is my web role. That's my web role. It's my worker role. I'm going to click one. Here is the detailed blade that comes out. Wait for it. And it says there is a scale part in the blade. It says auto scale is on. Let's see what it means. And it has currently 5 instances running for it. Let's see what it means, actually. Here. So you can say, all right, scale by what? This is the thing I mentioned. Do you want to scale by a metric or scale by a weekly schedule?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It can say, yep, scale by performance rules. So then it's going to ask you, okay, what's the condition you want to scale by? Right, so I pick that and I can say, okay, when CPU is greater than, this is just a fake one, right? I mean, you will obviously never scale by CPU greater than 0.5, but just to demo, CPU greater than so-and-so, increase the count of instances by 1.
Right.
And when CPU is below so-and-so, decrease the instance count by 1.
And you can add as many rules as you want,
As many. You can add as many rules as you want. You can group them into something called the autoscale profiles. Right.
Wow.
So you can say there's a detailed documentation on this. We're not going to go into the all sort of things here. Yeah. But so you can say, see here. No, this is the default one says it's not by schedule. It is by just by the metric and the performance rules. But I can say add profile, and I can say all right. There is the first profile is the one that will be triggered based on my metric rules, but I also want to add another one which is more like a recurrence one, right? And in the recurrence one, I'm going to have the days of the week selected and do so and so or in change the capacity by so and so at certain times
The
week, right? So customers can have a combination of this, and there is always questions that we get from customers around, which takes precedence? What about when I have a weekly, a weekly scale configuration out there, as well as a metric-based configuration? Which one? So we have recently released a good how-to and guidance doc on auto scale, which covers all these details. I think we should publish a link to that.
Absolutely, we'll put it absolutely down below.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because you could set up a set of rules that govern how scaling happens in those services in Azure that support scaling.
Exactly.
That's awesome. And it's, like I said, I've seen it on a web app. It's literally just scroll to 3 when this happens.
Exactly, yeah. The UI is a little different between some of these things, but under the hood, it's the same engine, the same APIs, everything is happening.
Looks like the last thing that we need to talk about are logging.
Yes.
So what do we get by default? What can we turn on, and then what's included in the audit logs that just happened naturally?
Right, yeah. So let me start by saying that there are two types of logs, essentially. The first one is like, hey, what's the bare minimal control plane level logs that Azure will give you out of the box?
Mm-hmm.
Examples of those are my VM was shut down.
Of course. Right?
Yeah, exactly. You need to know. I mean, you paid for the VM got deleted, you need to know it. You need to know about it, not just for like monitoring it, but also for compliance reasons and all this.
Right.
When was this VM created and deleted and all those things, right?
And by whom?
Yeah, exactly. So all this, who did what when kind of operation. So that's the thing that we call as the operational logs, or also known as audit logs in the new portal. So those kind of information all get logged and they're available out of the box for free, and they go into audit logs. They're also available as a publicly documented REST API. So you can call it and get the whole data. You can consume, or you can poll and get this data, like, you know, as it arrives, all these
events.
So
where are these logs being stored?
So these logs, because they're free, they are stored in Azure's own internal database, and they are available to customers for free for 90 days. So you can look back up to 90 days.
I see, but if you want to have more, let's just say for compliance reasons, you need to know who did what, when, you can actually, can you tell the system to dump those logs into Azure storage somewhere?
Great idea, and that's exactly what we went and released at Build this year.
Oh, cool.
So here we are with audit logs, right? So how to get to audit logs is I go to the portal and I can choose audit logs from my pane, here, navigation pane. If you can't find it, go to browse and type audit here, you'll find it, right? So it's here. And you can, it's good to actually pin it out there. So once I get audit logs, I mentioned this. There is a REST API that is exactly what the portal is calling. The portal calls the same REST API and just pushes them onto the screen, right? So these are all the things that happened recently. Like, hey, an alert got resolved. Even that thing comes through because you want to know whether an alert actually triggered or not. List keys are operations like, hey, somebody was reading data from my storage and somebody queried to get the key for the storage to actually, it could be the system itself doing it, but we log it, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's important from a compliance standpoint. You can go ahead and say, hey, I want to see it for this subscription versus a different subscription. There is a subscription level filters that you can choose. And you can also say, I want to see it only for the last couple of weeks, or you know, what's the time range, right?
Sure.
Last week or something. You asked about a feature. Okay, what about dumping it somewhere so that I can have access for longer? That's where the export button comes in, right? And this feature is still in preview. We released it recently at Build. So you can pick the subscription, you can select the regions, because you may want to say, oh, I don't want data from my resources in north and east going to the same location. I want them to be saved in the same location, you know, for very geo concerns, right? So they can pick the regions they want to get the data from, and then customers can pick a storage account of theirs. And this is where you're saying, okay, dump everything into this particular storage. And we go beyond that and we actually say, hey, we'll help you help manage the retention of the data. If you are saying, no, keep it forever, I don't even want to ever want to go and delete it, that has to be there for 10 years or something, just leave it zero. And that means we are never going to delete it. If we're never going to clear it up for you, it's going to stay there as JSON blobs.
But then you got to start, if you are starting to generate a lot of stuff, you got to watch your costs.
Absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. So this is customer storage account. This is the Azure storage account. So they can go ahead and delete it by hand or use other tools. But this is an easy way for customers to say, yeah, I mean, I care about these logs, but I care about it for like 180 days, right? So I want to keep it for all my compliance auditing, I want to keep it for 180 days, not 90 days. So we dump everything here. The other way customers can also access this is another new feature we released is stream them to an event hub.
I see. So you could do like stream analytics with it. So that if there's things that are happening operationally that you need to know right away, stream analytics can start firing events by aggregating data.
So everything that you get on the other side of Event Hub now is now applicable to audit logs as a scenario, right? So audit logs, imagine this audit logs. I have a lot of operations happening in my Azure services.
Mm-hmm.
And all this data is now pumped and streamed into the Event Hub, which I've just pointed the service to do. And then the other side of the Event Hub, you can integrate it with Azure Stream Analytics and Power BI, everything else, right? HD Insights, all those things, and you can reap the benefits. And that could be the common Event Hub you're using for a lot of your other scenarios, not just audit logs, but other data is coming in too. So now you get a chance to combine audit logs data, which is very valuable because it tells you a lot of information about what happened, with other data together and get a richer richer experience or richer analytics on top of it.
And this is awesome, right? Because, again, this is just going to start to happen. Now, my question to you, which I feel maybe it's, hopefully it's not too nitpicky, but I'd like to know what's being stored by default And what are some things I can opt into? And are those things specific to the type of resources that are hooking into
the
pipeline?
Exactly. Yeah, right, right. So great question. So audit logs, like I said, this captures the control plane operations happening across your resources within a subscription, right? The examples I mentioned is like, hey, a new administrator was added into the subscription. That's something we capture. An alert was triggered. That's captured. A VM was deleted, created. Those are captured, right? But there are data. So we call them control plane operations. But data plane operations of what happened inside that VM or what happened inside your network security group. Those are the optional logs, right? Now, that's the detailed logs. I mean, you don't want to have everything out together, right? But the service has provided, as in the network security group, they have provided an opt-in to say, hey, if you want more of this data, we can dump this data into the storage account of your choice.
And it's specific for each resource.
Exactly. The API to configure it, and the UI and everything will look pretty much similar because guess what, they're all going through the same pipeline,
right.
and we are orchestrating under the hood, we are orchestrating it for on their behalf. Remember I mentioned earlier, once your logs and metrics goes through the common pipeline, we can give one common API to customers to say, go ahead and do this. This is my resource and resource type and resource ID. Do it for this one. And here is my storage account, write it. So you can configure to write your network security logs as well as your load balancer logs or app service gateway logs all into the same storage account.
Got it.
Right? Because you're essentially telling, hey, I want all these things, write them all here.
And that's nice because then you can also configure it with Event Hub again to do other things. Which
so
is pretty
Event
cool.
Hub is something this is our first release of Event Hub that we just released Event Hub with audit logs alone. That is a feature we are introducing for the rest of the opt-in logs as well. We're not there yet, but that's definitely on our roadmap.
I love it.
Yeah. So let me give you an example. Since seeing is believing, let's look at network security groups. Right?
Sure.
Network security group is yet another resource. Let me pick one. So here you are in their diagnostics, in their summary blade. And if you go to the settings blade, you will see diagnostics, right?
Yeah.
So when you open that, this is where you say, all right, I want more data. Here is my storage account, and here is the categories of logs that I want you to dump into that storage account.
I see.
So now you opted in and say, I mean, you can imagine another service in Azure that will go live tomorrow, which could have like 10 categories of these.
Right.
Right. You don't want to be overwhelmed with all sorts. So we've given you the flexibility to say, no, there are certain categories of logs in those that I care the most about. Turn only those off. So I can say, nope, give me just this one, not both. Right. And you can manage retention at a particular log level and say, here is my storage account and turn it on. And that's it. So another quick way to access and see what that the data is actually flowing through is going to the diagnostics logs blade. There is another log blade which gives you the a list of all the JSON logs. So you can quickly download and go and look at it. Oh, here is my raw log out there. Now, this is a JSON blob file, right? We write everything in JSON file. Even the audit logs that we saw earlier is going to be written into the customer storage account in raw JSON blob files. So this is a quick way for customers to go and quickly take the download the log and just explore it or something. I mean, now it's in a standard JSON schema and in blob in customer storage account. They can use all the analytics tools they want.
Got it.
They can use you want to use OMS, you can use OMS to ingest the data. You can use Splunk, you can use Elk, you can bring your own, you can build your own analytics engine and analyze them, right?
Because it's just raw JSON.
It's just raw JSON, yeah, yeah. So that's the, again, going back to the original promise of, hey, we'll give you unprecedented access to all the logs that you care about from your Azure resources.
I love it. So it looks like for logging, you have the audit logs, which are what you're always going to have.
Yes.
And then you can opt into per resources, certain diagnostics that resource needs to pump out.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then you can ingest that. You can dump it to Azure Storage. For the audit logs, you can push into Event Hub
as well.
And then diagnostic logs, we're hoping to do that soon for
Coming
Event Hub as well.
Coming soon.
But it seems like as holistically, you can take a look at almost everything you've got in Azure, and you can put this one huge log space that's just going to have all the information that
you need. Exactly. And we are closely working with Application Insights as well as the OMS or the Log Analytics team. To make sure, they are consuming these logs and providing rich experience. experience on top of it. Remember I mentioned they have the ability to get this data from across subscriptions and then collate them together and give you a more richer, you know, view on top of it.
And they might also add additional information into the diagnostic
absolutely. They can use the IDs and the tag, the GUIDs and everything to correlate and get extra data to make it more smarter and give more value add on top of it.
That's awesome. So today, so far, if I've got it right, we talked about metrics, dashboards, alerts. We talked about auto scaling, and then we've also talked about logging.
Awesome.
And so, I mean, that's a pretty holistic approach to looking at Azure. And the thing that I like the best about this is that it's agnostic to resource or to service.
Exactly. And so that's, I mean, to actually speak about that, our roadmap is that, look, we want to make sure this platform and the monitoring pipeline and everything is has a single set of interfaces for ingesting data as well as consuming data out of it, right?
Awesome.
So that, like I mentioned earlier, every team doesn't have to go and innovate on their own. I mean, there are some specific asks we get from some of this Azure services because they are uniquely different.
Right.
But that's something we will, figure out working closely with them to see how can we handle that, right? And so it's very important to have the consumption story also to be, actually consistent and coherent because all our partners, including OMS, application sites, and our third-party partners all want it to be in one single format in one single way, right? So we are working closely with all these partners internally and externally to make life better.
So it feels like there's a lot to digest here. Where can people go to sort of get a feeling for how to get started with this
stuff? Yes. So you can actually go to the Azure documentation and go to the Azure portal. Mm-hmm. There is a link under that for monitoring. And we are actually uploading some of our newer documentation and a landing page actually for Azure monitoring. So you will pretty much soon see a link out there with the landing page for all these.
I love it.
So we'll make sure we'll put a link at the bottom of this
video. Of course we will.
Video.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time
with us.
This has been a whirlwind tour over what you can do in Azure. I like how we talked about it at the base level, and then we showed how these things are serviced up in each thing. So if you're using Azure and you want to know how it's doing or how you're doing, you should make sure to look at these awesome sort of features that are in Azure. Thanks so much for spending some time
with us.
Seth. Again, we're here in Building 43.
Thank you.
My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.